So, Jenna, I have some nice news. So, in addition to my cat, there's another important addition to my life,
Okay,
which
I'm excited.
my sister and brother-in-law, they've just moved into a new house. It's really nice, it's really big. It's got a fire pit, and also it came with a hot tub.
That's a very exciting development.
It is so exciting. And you wouldn't really think, like, hot tubs are like a weird human thing to me because, right, it's just like it's like taking a bath with other human beings, right?
It's a
And but
very
it's
hot bath.
right, a very hot bath, but it's just like so nice. Like I was over there the other day and I was just like a little bit stressed out, just like, not having a great time. But then they're like, let's get in the hot tub. I'm like, sure. And like as soon as you sink into like the warm water and you have like an alcoholic drink in your hand, it's like so choice. And I really wish you could come experience it. You're totally free, happy to come experience it anytime that you want.
Well, I'm very excited for the future prospect of hanging out in your sister's hot tub. I also recently had a hot tub
Oh,
experience,
let me
which
hear.
was for my birthday. One of my very good friends from high school was house sitting for a former teacher of ours, and they have a hot tub, and this was also done with permission from the teacher who owns the house. But I got to go over there and we had a nice takeout dinner and then just hung out in the hot tub with some champagne and just like
Ooh.
and it was the perfect hot tub temperature too, because it was like not freezing outside, but it was like cold enough that when you're just like outside in the swimsuit, it's chilly. So it was like excellent. We
Nice.
spent way longer in there than like you're supposed to spend in a hot tub.
Wait, how long are you supposed to spend in a hot
You're
tub?
not supposed to be in hot water for more than like half an hour, like water that hot. Yeah.
Why? What happens
It's
to
like
you?
bad for you. I don't know. But you go in and you like get nice and warm, and then after a while you're like, I'm too hot, so then you like sit on the edge for a while, cool off, and then you get back in. So it's not sustained. But yeah, it was a lovely experience.
Oh man, that's funny. Is it like cook your insides? Like, what would happen if you sat in a hot tub for like 10 hours?
I don't. That
Is it
sounds.
like a crock pot?
You would just get boiled. You would just like.
Feel like I saw that. Like, did you ever watch a show called A Thousand Ways to Die?
No.
It was like on some, it was like on Vice or like on like the, it was like the Science Channel, but like the, not the trendy one, the edgy one or whatever. And me and my sister used to watch that. It was like so ridiculous. It was like, getting cooked in a tanning bed and like all that. It was like Mythbusters, but for death.
Mythbusters, but for death. Okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to look up like why you
Why you
shouldn't
shouldn't stay in
be
hot
in the
water
hot
for
tub
more.
for that long, because I know that there's like a reason. Okay, it raises your internal body temperature and like causes you to dehydrate. Oh, it can make you dizzy or lightheaded, and it can just get, basically it seems like it can give you like hyperthermia, like where you,
Oh. Well, geez, I'll
yeah.
be careful. I'll consume the hot tub responsibly.
Yes, exactly. In reasonable quantities.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we talk about the 100?
Yes, we should talk about the 100 for sure, for sure.
Okay, we'll start a different podcast to just rate hot
Just
tubs.
for hot tubs
Or we can
and
start a podcast version of that show of Mythbusters, but for death, where we just talk about a thousand different ways to die. That is what the hundred
every
is,
episode should just
actually.
me coming on and be like, spent 1 more hour in the hot tub, still alive.
Still okay. No adverse effects. Love it. Hello and welcome to A Bit Much. My name is Jenna.
And I'm Megan. And on A Bit Much, we watch a few episodes of the 100, and then we talk about it, and then you enjoy us talking about it, hopefully.
That's the goal. So what are we talking about today, Megan?
Today, we're talking about the last two episodes in season four of the 100. Stakes are high. We got bunkers. We got rockets. We got death. We got a death wave coming. Mm-hmm. It's no good, and it's all good. And let's talk about it. I have the summaries for these two episodes. I feel like they're never as good as Jenna's, but that's fine. We're pushing through. So episode 412 is The Chosen. Sky Crew decides to host a lottery to decide their 100 survivors. When the Arcadians learn that their lives are being put to chance, they start to get violent. Octavia tells them to choose or die. Jaha plots to gas the grounders and take control of the bunker, but Kane convinces him to gas the out-of-control Arcadians and use Clark's list to decide who stays. Meanwhile, on their way to bring Raven back to the bunker, Bellamy, Clark, Murphy, and Amori are attacked by desperate grounders and saved by Echo. They total their rover in the scuffle, forcing Monty and Harper to come get them in their rover. They arrive at Becca's lab without enough time to get back to the bunker, so they decide they'll go to space instead. Episode 413, Prime Faya. Octavia takes her place as commander of one crew and leader of the survivors left in the bunker. The crew at Becca's lab work together to ready the rocket and make the Ark's ring survivable. Due to a comms malfunction in the rocket, Clark must manually align the satellite dishes on the ground in order to bring power up to the Ark ring. The task takes her too long, and the others are forced to leave without her. They reach the ring just in time, ensuring their survival. Clark is able to make it back to Becca's lab just as the death wave hits. 6 years and 7 days later, we see Clark has survived on the ground in, quote-unquote, the only green spot. She tries in vain to reach Bellamy on the ring by radio when she sees a ship, excitedly wakes a young Nightblood girl named Maddie, only to realize that the ship is a prison transport ship and not her friends from the ring. Cut to black.
Cut to black.
Confused. Dun, dun, concerned.
What should we start with? What plot line should we jump into?
I think we should start in the bunker.
Okay.
With the lottery.
Right. So, sort of like all of the Sky Crew people are brought up to the kind of main little entrance area by the grounders. And like Kane kind of gives a speech explaining what's going on, and everyone like freaks out, and they get a little bit violent over Nyla because they're like, well, you know, does she get one of our spots? She's not one of us, whatever. And then Octavia steps in and she's like, you know, well, now Nyla's safe. I'm giving her a spot. Now you guys have one less spot to deal with. And then also at that point, Jaha's like mad about the situation, right? Because he liked the previous situation where it was just the 400 of their people and everyone else was locked out. But he tries to be like, Octavia, like, why are you doing this? You're one of us. And which is just the most ridiculous thing to come out of Jaha's mouth. And, you know, Octavia's straight up like, I had to live under the floor. You floated my mother. Like, fuck right off. I am not one of you.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I was one of you when you made me hide under the floor. Mm-hmm. And then you floated my mother. And then you sent me to the ground to die. Yeah. So, I don't think so, buddy.
No. They decide to have a lottery. And I gotta say, from the end of last episode, when Octavia's like, you guys have to choose 100 people, I was like, you guys, Clark made a list, like, ages ago. You have a list with 100 names on it, like, just use that. But then, you know, they brought up the problem of, like, you know, the people will lose their shit if they're just like, we've already decided, you know, they kind of need some level of crowd control, so they decide to do it by lottery, except they have like 20 people who they're like, we need these people, and then the rest of the people are going to be chosen by lottery.
And the I think they said children under 16.
Right, it was like all the children and some like essential personnel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happens after that?
well, this is like kind of alongside this. Octavia is just feeling very overwhelmed by leadership, which is very funny because it's like, oh, you've never had to deal with the burden of leadership before. Lots of other characters have already gone through this, but she's kind of like, who am I to tell people what to do? I don't want to have to make these hard decisions.
But Indra's, of course, right there to be like, well, you got it. Uh-huh. You won the conclave. They're looking to you. Created one crew. They're looking to you. And she's like, you know, because it's so funny because she talks a big game, right? Like, I'm not part of them. They're not my people or whatever. But then, like, she was like, can I really kill them? Because she gives them the ultimatum. Like, if you don't decide 100 people, we're just going to kill all of you.
Right.
So make a decision. So she was like, can I really kill all of them? And Indra's like, you kind of have to now. So better get used to that idea.
Right. So that's kind of this, like, you know, tension in the episode is that, like, there's a time limit that Octavia gave them for, like, when they have to choose. And so then if they haven't chosen by that point, then all the grounders are just going to come and start killing them. So that's kind of the tension. So first they decide to do a lottery, and so everyone comes in and, like, writes their name on a slip and puts it in a big bowl to be pulled. And there's this very touching scene where, like, Miller goes in and he writes his name and then he leaves. And then Miller's dad comes in and he writes down Nathan Miller. And he tells Kane, like, I want to give him my spot. Like, I'd rather have him have a better chance than have me survive. And it's just like...
So good
and so sad.
So good and so sad. That should be its tagline. Yeah, 100. So good and so sad.
Yes. But then meanwhile, there's, like, just this random guy who has a son, and he just, like, walks up to Jaha, and he's like, hey, Jaha, if I don't get in, could you be a father figure to my son? And Jaha's like, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't have to be making these kind of decisions. Like, we should all get to be in the bunker. So then he just decides to cause trouble. So then when Kane is reading out the names for the lottery... The guy with the son starts, like, shouting and, you know, making a ruckus and being like, we shouldn't have to do this. This is our bunker, whatever. And other people kind of join in. And then Kane sees Jaha kind of sneak off. And he's like, I have to go investigate that. So he follows Jaha. And like you said, Jaha is, like, getting all this knockout gas because that's a thing that they have, so that they can try to, like, have the grounders open the doors and then knock them out and then, I guess, fight them. It's not a very well thought through plan, because when Kane confronts Jaha, Kane is like, there's 1,100 grounders here. Like, we will not be able to overpower them. They will just kill all of us. And so
Jaha's like, if we control the food, we control the bunker.
Right.
Like, that's not how this works.
Right. And it's like, you won't. Yeah. So, Jaha is just hell-bent on this plan, and Kane kind of sort of manages to talk him down.
Which, so I want to talk about this a little bit, my note on this is that, oh man, where'd it go? Because it was funny the way it went. Jaha wins for longest streak of being an absolute dick.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you think about it, other people who, like, at first you disliked in this show, like, you eventually grew to like. Like, they had a character arc where they improved. Like, Bellamy, Kane, I can think of a few grounder, like Rowan. You know,
Murphy, you definitely like more Murphy, now than you did before.
So many redemption arcs. Jaha doesn't get any redemption arcs. You hate Jaha from start to finish, and it's great.
Yes, and it's just like, it's so wild. Like, I don't know, that he still just has this feeling of like our people are no one, you know? Like,
yeah, like the entitlement.
Like, the entitlement. That's exactly how I feel about Jaha. Like, in every way, he's just so entitled.
And, like, the way... I can't remember exactly what Kane says, but the way that Kane wins Jaha over is, like... And it's genius, and it just shows how much Kane knows Jaha, because they, like, serve... They, like, you know, were led together for a long time is that he appeals to his ego, where he's like, mm-hmm. you're the one that's going to save us all. Like, if you stop this, then you're going to be the one who, like, you know, stopped this riot, and you're going to be the savior. And like
you found
like,
this bunker, you know, like,
yeah, like you're going to go down in history as like the one who saved humanity. And like, Jaha's like, you know what? You got to tell me he's a dick. And so he's like, okay, but how do we stop them? You know, they're like, they're out for blood. They want to fight. Like, how are we going to stop them? And they kind of like, look at the gas.
Yeah.
They gas their own people. And so they're all asleep. And it's this devastating scene where everyone's asleep. And they're like, you know, and I think Jaha's like, how do we, oh, wait, sorry.
No, it's just, I remembered something that we didn't talk about before, which was Abby.
Oh, right. So, yeah. So during the, like, lottery, name putting in the bowl thing, Abby's like, you need to pick, I think there were like 81 people. She was like, you need to pick 82 names out of that bowl. And he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I can't, like, when those doors close, like, I'm going to be on the other side of them. And basically she's saying that she doesn't deserve to live because of, like, what she did to Luna, where she, you know, knocked her out and forcibly took her marrow and, you know, all the experiment on that random grounder guy where he, like, exploded in the tank.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, basically, because, you know, that's kind of, she's gone against, like, her oath of, like, do no harm as a doctor. She's kind of, you know.
But on the other hand, I'm like, you are a doctor, and it seems like there aren't a lot of doctors. Like, I feel like Kane could just be like, yeah, like, you can't sacrifice yourself because you're one of very few people that has medical knowledge. Like, we need you.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I feel like Abby's always trying to do that, where it's like, I should be the one. It's like, no, you absolutely should not, because you're a doctor, and that's very important. Anyway, so, yes, so. Everyone's knocked out. Jaha's like, how do we decide who's going to stay and who's going to go? And Kane is like, Clark already made a list. And Jaha's like, I know where it is.
Yep.
For some reason, they've already kept it. And they brought it to the bunker, which means, like, you were going to use it anyway.
They had
brought
that.
It to the bunker.
They had that in the back of their mind. We might need this someday.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like, if we need to sacrifice some people, we know exactly who we're going to keep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they get the list out, and there's, like, sad music playing, and they're like, you know, this person stays, this person goes. And they get to Abby, and they, like, are trying to move her, and Kane's like, no, she stays.
Yeah.
She stays. And he's like, you know, he like caresses her face and he goes like, forgive me. Mm-hmm. It's so sad. And oh, so good. So sad. So good. Yeah. And they're just going by the list and it's really sad. And like, you know, they leave the little boy, but they take his, you know, father away. And that's sad. And Jaha picks him up. It's like, oh good. What a good father figure this kid has.
Yeah.
Jaha. So yeah. And you know, Octavia and the rest of the grounders come in and they like realize that everything's fine and they pick their 100.
Right. And they also, like when it's like time, when the time limit is up. And so Indra's like, we got to go, you know, we got to go deliver on our ultimatum. And she asks Octavia, like, do you just want me to go do it? Like, if it's too hard for you, I'll just go kill them. Yeah. And Octavia says, no, my people, my responsibility.
So
the freaking callbacks in this show.
Yes. And like quoting your brother. So good.
And then, and like her understanding, like, you know, I am the leader, like, and I have to make these tough decisions, even if it's hard for me, I have to take that responsibility.
True facts.
Yep. Should we talk about the other plot line happening then?
Yes. So, yeah. So they get Raven's you know, radio call or whatever, like, hey, I'm alive, I need help. Please come get me. They, you know, Clark is like, I'll go get her, because of course it's Clark and of course it's Bellamy. And Abby's trying to be like, it doesn't need to be you, but she was like, I know the way to the island, it'll be faster, all that stuff. So it's her and Bellamy, and they bring Murphy and Amori along.
So Murphy and Amori, first it is just going to be Clark and Bellamy, but then Murphy and Amori show up and they're like, hey, we want to help out. Like, we know the island too. And, you know, maybe it'll increase our, you know, chance of getting to stay in a spot in the bunker or whatever. But then once they like actually, I don't know if it's just the, I think it is just the two of them alone. Oh, no. It's once they're up on the surface and then Murphy and Bellamy are like walking together and Bellamy's like, why for real are you helping out? Like, I don't believe that. And Murphy says like, there's a, you know, there's that small bunker on the island where, you know, at the, was it the end of season two that he was like trapped there for a while and sort of lost it. Basically, he's like, we know that me and Amori won't be chosen to stay in the bunker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not valuable to you people. So
we're scumbags,
like,
we know.
Yeah. So like, we're going to try and go, you know, make it for as long as we can in that bunker on the island. But then while, after he says that, we get a little shot of in the trees hiding Echo. So Echo has overheard that there is a secret bunker on the island.
Right. So they're out in the rover. They're on their way to go get Raven. And just somebody just steps directly in front of their car.
So before that, there's two. Each of the pairs of people in this rover have a little conversation. First with Murphy and Amori, where Amori is like, well, it was nice to feel safe for a while, but that's over. and she was like, it was nice to have a home. And John Murphy says, hey, your home is with me. I was like,
right? Jonathan, my scumbag God. Murphy. Like Jonathan this, Cockroach Murphy.
These two episodes, I mean, like, you already know, like, yeah, their mm-hmm. relationship is great and it really humanizes Murphy and it's, like, great. But, like, mm-hmm. these two episodes specifically are, like, so good in that respect. And so, like, that was so sweet. And then, meanwhile, up in the front seat, Bellamy and Clark kind of talk about the fact that Clark pointed a gun at him the other day.
Right, just casual conversations you need to have with friends.
Right. But then that is interrupted by someone just randomly stepping out in front of the car.
Yeah, they just, like, explode. It was so funny in this. So anyway, I'll talk about that when we describe the scene. But so they're like, oh my God, what just happened? Like, we hit this person. What is happening? And they kind of veer off the road and they crash into a tree. Like, what just happened? And then they, like, get out to sea, and, like, they are ambushed by a bunch mm-hmm. of grounders, and they have to fight, and they're fighting, and they're, oh, no, they have their suits, right? And they're like, oh, God, we can't get exposed, and it's a lot, and we're fighting, and we're losing. But then freaking Echo comes up with, like, what seems to be, like, a horse coated in blood.
Yeah.
And she, like, just knocks people out, just arrows and swords, and she's a badass, and she gets the job done. And then they're like, whoa, thanks, Echo. Why did you save us? And she was like, I want to be in that bunker because I've been banished. I can't be in the big bunker. I want to be in the little bunker because you owe me because I saved your lives. Mm-hmm. Don't you forget it. And this scene cracks me up because it's like they had an overabundance of blood budget, where just a lot of blood. And I don't know if it's because they're, like, in the snow.
Right, the snow definitely
shows up more.
Yeah. Which I'm,
but there's a lot of blood.
Yeah. I, like, because also in the next episode when they're on the island, the snow and that landscape mm-hmm. is very, you know, visually striking. And I am kind of like, what time of year is it? Like, is it, why did snow just show up all of a sudden? Like, or is this, does this have to do with the radiation somehow? Like, I don't know. But it looks cool, so. Well.
Like, is this literally nuclear winter?
Like, right, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, so then they're like, okay, we'll bring her with us because she saved our lives.
Well, right. So then they have a problem, which is that they've just mm-hmm. crashed the rover. And also, so when they were leaving, Abby says, like, okay, it's like, I think 23 hours until the death wave comes. And it's usually a 10-hour drive from Polis to the island. So that means, like, or a trip, I guess, because you have to take a boat too. So it's like 20-hour round trip. You can't lose very much time. So now they've crashed the rover. And, like, Echo has a horse, but just one horse. Not very useful. So they radio Monty. And then they get him, and he's, like, in his own little rover. And he's like, yeah, I'm heading to Polis. And they're like, well, why don't you come, you know, to where we are and could you help us out? And he and Harper are like, yeah. So they start heading that direction.
Which is a great little moment in the rover where he like kind of looks at Harper like, oh, like, what do you want to do? And she goes, we save our friends.
Yeah.
And he was like, we save our friends. And yeah. I was like, that was very good.
That was good. So basically, but then while they're sitting around and waiting for Monty to show up, Clark and Bellamy start talking and they're like, we have to discuss the fact that like, we've lost too much time. We don't have time to get to the island and get back to the bunker. So, like, what do we do? Do we just head back to Polis now and just give Raven up for dead? Like, you know, what is our option? And during this time also, during the fight, Amori's helmet got, like, broken. And mm-hmm. so Clark gave up hers. She gave Amori her helmet because she was like, I have night blood, so I should be more resistant to the radiation. And so then that's also kind of a, you know, discussion that they're having about, like, you know, if we get back to, okay, I'm trying to remember like the different jumps that they had to make to like make this decision make sense, because it was kind of confusing. Okay, because basically, like, Clark says we could still find a way to make people nightbloods, and then,
oh, because they're going to Becca's lab.
Okay,
so they'll be at Becca's lab, and they will, and I guess Clark would be able to know how to make people nightbloods out of her blood. She's like, we could still save everyone.
That's true. I guess she now, like, her bone marrow now mm-hmm. should work. Okay, so maybe that's it. So maybe she's saying, like, you know, he's just like, we should maybe cut our losses to go back. And she's like, well, if we go there, maybe we could. But they don't have that much time. Like, they couldn't turn people. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
In the show, they explained it in a way that made it make sense. Yeah. But whatever. But anyway, but then Clark starts, like, coughing up blood and reacting to the radiation. And so then they realize, like, even though she's nightblood, even though she is more resistant, like, she couldn't survive this. So then that for some reason makes them decide to go to the island. And it made sense in the show. They did a decent job of justifying it, but I don't totally remember. So then they get to the island, and Raven also is like, she has her little countdown clock to, like, when the death wave is coming. And so she, like, looking at the clock, and she knows, like, they don't have enough time to get me and get back. Like, they must have given up on me. So she's just kind of sad about that. And then, you know, like, seven people show up, which is probably way more than she was expecting. And they all take off their helmets dramatically. And she's like, what are you guys doing here? Like, you should be back in Polis. We don't have time to get back. And Clark's like, we're not going back. We're going to space.
To space. Back to the future. Back to space. And Raven's like, that's impossible. We can't do that. We can't come back down. And she was like, well, we'll just stay up there.
It's like, that sounds like, says, a like, future
sounds
problem.
Like a five-year
yeah,
problem.
Exactly.
And Raven's like, all right, this death wave can kiss my ass or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where we end.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have the little plan to do that. I will also say, at one point in this episode, and I don't remember the context, but there was just a point where in the bunker, Miller and Jackson, like, kind of glanced at each other in a way that I was like, are they together now?
Right. It was when, it was like, Nate's name was called, Miller's name was called, and Jackson, like, clasped him on the shoulder, like, oh, yeah, or whatever. It's like, are you dating?
Yeah.
I can't remember. You've had, like, two conversations. I guess you're dating now.
Right. I mean, like, because, you know, at the end of this episode, at the end of this, or next episode, whatever, at the end of the season, we get this time jump. So then it's like, mm-hmm. I think just at the end of the time jump, it's like, but they're together. But, like, yeah. I don't know that we ever know when that actually started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on this episode?
Nope. That's all I had.
Okay.
Then we'll move on to the finale. Prime Fire. Right. So we start out in the bunker again with Octavia and Indra. And Octavia's like, Oh no, we start off with Octavia and Bellamy
on the radio. Yeah,
on the radio, and like, you know, Bellamy's filling her in, like, oh, we're gonna go to space for 5 years because we can't get back in time, and I'll see you on the other side or whatever. And it's quite sad. And she was like, I'll be, you know, under the floor. So good. And you know, she goes, you know, I love you. And it's been a very long time since they said that to each other. Yeah. They've been in this weird, awkward, mean, no fun space. And so he tries to say it back to her, but the radio cuts off and it doesn't work anymore because the radiation, and they can't say goodbye. And it's very sad.
Right. And then Clark comes in like, okay, is my mom there? And Bellamy has to tell her, like, I'm so sorry, like, the radio stopped working. You won't be able to say goodbye. And Clark, like, starts crying, and Bellamy hugs her, and it was...
very nice.
Yeah.
Like a very tight hug. And it's
we're gonna have a lot to talk about this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Also, just during Octavia and Bellamy's conversation, they talk about this, they make this, like, Prometheus metaphor, and I was just like, and I feel like this has happened maybe even with Bellamy before, where he makes like some sort of literary allusion, and I'm just like, I'm fascinated by what information about human culture you guys apparently kept around on the Ark. Like,
well, wasn't it because it was like a childhood thing with him and Octavia?
Yeah, like Greek that they had some kind stuff. Of right, which I can't remember the reference before, but I
think
I feel
it
like
was from her name, Octavia.
Okay.
Or something.
Yeah. But yeah, that like it is like this kind of like weirdly it like it's just so weird to hear any reference to like human culture in real life, you know?
Yeah.
In this show.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sure.
Sorry.
Is it the cat?
It is the kitten. She just stomped all over my keyboard. I was afraid that she would stop the recording, but she didn't. She almost turned off my computer, though.
Oh my god.
Child,
sabotaging
please.
Us.
Yeah. You've been ignoring me for way too long.
Yeah. So anyway, so then the rest of this episode basically is just the people on the island trying to get everything prepared so that they can go to space. And they have 90 minutes to do it. Which, like,
right? We can skip a lot of it because it's like,
yes,
you know,
it's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, of like a new problem arises and then it's solved. Let's see, I'm trying to like read through my notes and decide like what is the relevant things. Well, I do want to talk about Murphy and Monty's little thing. So the two of them are sent to go get the oxygenator from the bunker because they'll need the oxygenator on the... So they're going to the ring of the Ark, which is, you know, when the Ark, like, came down, this part was left up there. And they'll need this oxygenator to survive up there. So they're getting that from the bunker. And along the way, they, like, argue about Jasper. I didn't write down any specific quotes, so I don't remember exactly what it is, but...
It was basically, I mean, the sum of it was that Murphy was like, Jasper took the coward's way out.
Yeah.
And Monty, like, you know, slams him against a tree. And it was like, and Murphy's like, you're taking this way too seriously. Monty's like, shut the fuck up. I hate you so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, you know, 5 years in space with, you know, 7 people, and one of them is John Murphy.
Right.
Like, I might as well just stay down
here. Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, so then they get to the oxygenator, and basically Monty has to expose his hand in order to get it, because he has to reach his hand somewhere that his glove is too big for. So he gets it out, and then, like, but is in a ton of pain, because his hand is, like, covered in radiation burns. So then they're trying to carry this pretty big piece of machinery back together. And Monty is just, like, in extreme pain. And so, like, to distract him, Murphy asks him about Harper. And he's like, hey, like, you guys seem pretty serious. Like, have you told her you loved her yet? And Monty, again, just, like, in pain, is just like, yeah. And Murphy's like, yeah, it's crazy how it changes you. And I was just like, oh my God.
So good. But then Monty passes out.
Yeah.
Murphy's like, I'm sorry, buddy. He takes like 2 seconds to sit down next to Monty and then is like, I'm sorry, buddy. And he takes oxygenator and leaves Monty there.
Yeah. Which, well, so then like he gets the oxygenator to basically the outside of the lab where, for other reasons that we'll talk about in a minute, Clark and Bellamy and Raven were already outside. And so Murphy's like, come on, come back right now. Like, we got to go get Monty. Mm-hmm. And so Bellamy goes with him. And when they get to Monty, he's just like, he's just woken up. I don't know how passing out from pain works, but I guess you can wake up with, you know, within a minute or so. And so he like wakes up and he goes like, he hugs Bellamy, right? And it's a sweet little embrace. And Murphy's kind of like, ha ha, like, of course he's the one you hug. And then Monty turns to him and he says, you chose the machine over me. And Murphy's kind of like, oh, like, yeah, I did. And then Monty hugs him, too, which I love. Yeah, he's like,
I might not hate you anymore.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, good. Like, you made the right decision, like, not being too sentimental over me and getting the machine necessary for all of our survival back.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. So then I guess we should talk about the whole satellite thing.
So, yeah, so they're...
But wait, no, we shouldn't talk about that yet. We should talk about a conversation that Bellamy and Clark have in the lab together.
Yes. So, they're in the lab. They're just looking at schematics. They're prepping to launch or whatever. And, you know, they're talking, and Clark is preoccupied by this vision that Abby had when, you know, because she was having strokes or whatever, and she had a vision of Clark dying of radiation. Mm-hmm. So Clark is, like, halfway convinced that she's going to die from radiation. And so she's, like, you know, trying to prep Bellamy. He's like, you know, if I die, then they're going to look to you.
Yeah, just before that, they have this, sort of cute little exchange where Bellamy is looking at Echo, and he says, grounders in space, it's an oxymoron. And then Clark responds and says, you know, basically, like, we need as many people working together as possible to survive. So, like, you know, taking Echo with us was the only choice. And she goes, only choice, also an oxymoron. And then Bellamy says, so is cold sweat. And then he, like, caresses Clark's gross sweaty forehead and like pushes her hair back, and it was like so like such an unnecessarily intimate touch.
Yes, for sure. But they're just friends. I'm bitter. Don't talk to me.
Anyway, as I was saying,
so she's like, you know, if I die, then they're, you know, you're the only leader left. They're going to look to you. And she was like, and you need to use, he's like, you know, because you have such a big heart. Mm-hmm. And like, she was like, when I met you, I didn't really like you. And he was like, well, yeah, it's not a surprise. You know, everyone knows that. And she was like, but she was like, every step, I like even knew every dumb thing that you were just doing to protect Octavia because you have a big heart. And, you know, that heart is why people love you and why people are going to follow you.
And she was like, literally, she touches his chest too. Yeah. Like, she was during
you can't just use this. And she touches the side of his like temple. She's like, you got to use this too. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, that's what I have you for.
Yes.
And she's like, well, I won't always be there. She was like, if I die. And he was like, nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And he's like, change the subject. And so they do immediately change the subject.
Yeah. So then something happens with the shuttle and that, you know, distracts them or whatever. But just like the whole idea of like he's the heart and she's the brains, like I love it so much. So, and that's why they're good leaders when they're together, you know, like that's when they work best. Mm-hmm. and this was in I think it was in the previous season when she, like, you know, they talk about like, or no, this is early this season, I think, like Bellamy said, like, we ground each other, you know, like so good. And I love it. But anyway, then, like, something happens with the shuttle. It doesn't matter. Something explodes for some reason. And, and the communications are down. And so Raven's like, well, this is a problem because those need to be on so that we can turn on power in the ring to open the hangar door to get into it. And so they, you know, she has the idea of like, okay, well, we can activate it from this satellite tower that's on the island. So then she and Bellamy and Clark go up, and that's when they run into Murphy with the oxygenator. And so just Clark alone goes to attach this little tablet to the satellite and turn it on or whatever. And which also it's like, so at this point they have 25 minutes left. And so Raven says, you need 10 minutes to get back and to, like, you know, board the rocket. So, like, that's if you, you know, you need to leave there by 10 minutes left. And she also says the tower is less than a mile from here. And well, I'm like, how much less than a mile? Right? I was like, right? The, like, I absolutely, like, I haven't ran in a long time. I mean, I haven't timed my running since I was a freshman in high school and had PE, but, like, I don't think I could run a mile in 10 minutes. So, like, how, and I'm sure Clark is, you know, decently physically fit since they've had to be, like, surviving for on their own and stuff, but, like, that's an extremely fucking tight timeline.
Yeah, so she gets to the tower. Everyone else is back, basically. They're all back. She gets to the tower. She plugs in the tablet just like...
Oh. Well, I guess this is kind of happening concurrently. Should we talk about Echo before we go into...
Yeah, since that's kind of like leads into the end of it. So yeah, you can go ahead.
Echo. Okay. So basically then when they're kind of trying to load up, and they're basically the only thing left to happen is that Clark needs to activate the satellite, and then she needs to come back and get on the rocket, and they leave. So they're just like loading stuff up, and Raven is like, Echo, help us. And Echo is nowhere to be found. So then we see that she is like hiding off in some other room. And at first, maybe you think like, is she trying to like sabotage them? Like, what's going on? Right? Is she acting like a, you know, sketchy spy or what? But then we see that she's like, cause she puts on like, face paint, you know? And then we see that basically she is, going to attempt suicide. She's going to kill herself. And so Bellamy starts looking around for her, and he sees her as she's like kneeling on the ground with her sword, like, you know, pressed up against her navel, you know, like about to stab herself. And Bellamy goes, wouldn't it be easier to just walk outside?
Classic gallows.
But then he's, you know, and she's basically like, I don't belong in space. Like, there's no way I'll survive in space. And, like,
I can't be in space.
And, like, I, you know, brought dishonor to my clan. Like, anyway, she's got a lot going on. And Bellamy gives her a little pep talk to convince her to come up with them. And basically, he says, like, at one point during this conversation, he says, I still don't trust you. Maybe I never will. And I'm just like, I'm going to refer back to this line many times in the next season. But anyway, you know, but basically he convinces her like, no, you're a valuable asset to, you know, to our little team of people trying to go to space, and we'll need you. So you should stay alive. And so she does.
Yep.
But then, but then they're just standing there waiting for Clark to come back.
Yep. So we see Clark. She gets to the tower. She looks at her little clock. She has 11 and a half minutes left. So she has to do this real right quick, right? She has a minute and a half to do this before she has to start running back the other way. And so she plugs a little tablet in, just like Raven told her to, but it says not connected. And she's like, what? And she tries to radio Raven, but Raven doesn't answer. And she like opens a little thing and it says like manual override. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? And so she like, you know, looks at her clock and she's like basically just resigning herself to die.
Right. So and she says into the radio, which isn't working, but she says like, Bellamy, Raven, if you can hear me, don't wait.
Yes. And as she's about to climb, like, which I feel like there should be a ladder, but there's not a ladder. It's just like the leg of this tower. But as she starts to climb, she says, I don't know what it is in Grounder, but it's my fight is over.
Yeah.
It's like, oh dang. Which like not yet. Like, you still got shit to do. But she climbs up.
I mean, but that's satellite. Like, that's the moment when she's accepting, like, I won't make it to the rocket. Yeah. Like, probably this decision will kill me, but also it will save my friends. Yeah.
Which is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So she climbs up the satellite. She does a tablet thingy again. Still doesn't work. She has to manually change these satellite things. Just guessing and checking, basically. Yeah. And you know, while this is going on, while we're watching this, they have blasted off. She watches them blast off.
Right. Well, so like just before that, like, you know, they're waiting around for Clark and Clark isn't showing up. And Raven finally is like, it's time. Like, we have to leave now. We can't wait for her anymore. And again, like, but they also don't know, like, whether or not she succeeded. Like, they might be blasting off into space and just get to the ring, which has no power, and then they just die there in space, you know? So, like, you know, so then finally, like, and Bellamy's the last one who's, like, standing out there waiting. And then finally he, you know, listens to Raven and he gets into the rocket. And he says, you know, and I don't know who asks, like, you know, we're leaving her behind or whatever. And Bellamy says, this is what Clark would want us to do. And then he says, it's the only choice. So again, calling back to their excellent conversation earlier in the episode.
Right. So they blast off into space. She watches them go. They get up into space and, you know, they're getting close to the ring and Raven, they see that it's dark. And they're like, well, you know, we can only go forward from here. And so Raven, you know, gets into her spacewalk suit and she gets out and she goes to the hangar door and she, you know, tries to open it and it doesn't work. It's like, oh God, and she looks back at Bellamy and they, like, for some reason over these, like, hundreds of yards of empty space can lock eyes. Like, oh no, this isn't good. And so we cut back to Clark and she's moving the satellites and checking and moving the satellites and checking.
And we, like, because also in this moment where, like, they're up there and the ring still isn't there, Bellamy says, I left her behind and we all die anyway.
Oh, so yeah, guessing and checking. And then finally it says, you're good to go. And it says it's sending. And it's like, oh, great. And we get back up there and they see, and, you know, and I think that's when Bellamy's like, you know, we died in it. You know, we're all going to die anyway. And then they like are like, wait, look out the window. And the ring is lit up because she did it. And Raven opens the hangar door and she notices, like, oh man, like almost no oxygen. Like, gotta go fast. So they get back into the rocket and they get into the ring or whatever. And they have to bring the oxygenator as they're all running out of oxygen, bring the oxygenator in and, like, install it. And they're all, like, desperate and they have to rip off their hoods and, like, start using these little handheld oxygen tubes. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, sharing oxygen back and forth. People are passing out left and right. And Bellamy's doing the oxygenator and Monty's telling him what to do. And Monty, like, almost passes out, but then tells him the last thing to do. And, you know, Bellamy's the last one awake. Everyone else is passed out. And Bellamy gets it connected and then he passes out and then, like, there's a few seconds and then the oxygen turns on and you see the little, you know, strings go and it's like, oh man. And I think it's Murphy wakes up first and he, like, gets Amori's face in front of the vent and then you know, I think Monty wakes up and wakes up Harper and they all wake each other up and they're like, oh, we're alive. Yeah. And all is good, but then go back to the ground.
So then, like, Clark is, she's still running back to the lab. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, like, on the way there, she, like, trips and falls and her, like, helmet cracks. And so she just, like, puts her hand over the crack and just, like, keeps running. And she gets back to the lab before the actual, like, death wave hits, but we see that she is still very burned up by the radiation, and she kind of, like, collapses in the lab.
Then,
in the ring, which is, so we see the, like, the little bottle of alcohol that I think, like, Jaha drank before he came down to Earth. Yeah. And it's just Bellamy and Raven, like, up on the ring, looking down on Earth, which is just, like, pretty much fully covered in, like, very scary looking radiation. And Raven asks, like, do you think we can do this without her? Obviously referring to Clark. And Bellamy says, if we don't, then she died in vain, and I won't let that happen.
Oh. And then he's like, are you with me?
Yeah.
So Raven goes, always. Mm-hmm. And it's like such a good bro moment. Like, they're friends, right?
Yeah.
Friends. That's what friendship looks like. Anyway, not bitter. It's fine. I have a lawsuit being written as we speak. And so, great moment there. Then we go to Black, and you're like, oh, okay, the season's over. Episode over. We'll find out what happens next season.
You thought.
No, it's 6 years and 7 days later. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, what? Excuse me? And we open up on Clark, and she's like sitting there just so serene. She's got the sun on her face, and she like opens her eyes. And she's fine, and she's on the ground, and there's like a nice vegetation everywhere, and she's got a cool new haircut, and she, you know, is on top of the rover, and she gets off, and we see her like set up this little radio thing and start talking to Bellamy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's day 2000 and something since the death wave. She's mm-hmm. like, I don't know why I keep doing this, like maybe to keep myself sane. And she was like, you know, if you're out there, like tell Raven. She was like, it's been, you know, you've been able to come down for like a year now, but yeah, there's no one here. And also like, there's no word from the bunker. We've tried to, you know, it's the first time she says we, and we're like, yeah. We who? We've tried to, you know, get the rubble, but they're just dug too deep, and we don't really know what's going on with them. She says, you know, but when you come down, tell Raven to point at the one green spot. It's the only good place left on Earth that I've been able to find, or mm-hmm. something like that. And then she, like, looks up, and there's a spaceship. And you're like, yeah. Oh my gosh, they're coming. Oh, it's so exciting. And she gets up and she runs to the rover and she wakes up this child.
Yep.
Excuse me, what? And she calls her little Nightblood. Mm-hmm. And she's speaking to her, you know, grounder. She says, my little Nightblood. And she's like, why are you waking me up? She's like, I don't want to do any lessons today. And she was like, you know, look outside. And she saw the spaceship and she gets all excited and she's like, come on, Maddie, let's go. And so they get outside and they, you know, are looking up at the ship, and the girl goes, I thought you said it was a small ship. And she was like, oh shit, it is a pretty big ship. And she has like this old timey rifle thing with a scope on it that mm-hmm. that Clark uses to look at the ship. And you see like that it's, you know, Allegis, you see Allegis, uh-huh. and then you see like cell block something. And then you see prison transport uh-huh. and you're like, fuck. Oh no. And Clark is basically like, that's not them. And she was like, you know, go back and get the guns. And yeah. she was like, how many of them? She's like, all of them.
Yeah.
And you just watch this spaceship touch down and then it's over.
Yeah. So just so much. I mean, it was like, okay, because, you know, this is not like a new concept to the 100, right? Like at the end of season mm-hmm. one, we get like all of a sudden they're in the mountain and what the hell is going on? So like they're mm-hmm. setting up for the next season. Same thing like, you know, the like end of last season when it was like, oh, we finally defeated Allie. But Allie's like, well, there's nuclear radiation and you're all going to die. And mm-hmm. so like, you know, we have that setup. But yeah, just like, I mean, I do remember when I first watched this and like, like, I don't know what I thought was going to happen. Like, I don't know if I thought, like, oh, we're going to, like, I guess I must have assumed, like, there will be a time jump because otherwise, like, what mm-hmm. we're going to watch just these characters in different places for the next 5 years. But yeah, when it was like, not just like, oh, 5 years later, because that's what they've all been saying, that mm-hmm. like, after 5 years, the Earth will be habitable again, but that it's over 6 years later. And yeah, just all of a sudden, all of this wild new information that you don't know what to do with. Like, again, first of all, that it's like she's radioing Bellamy and she says that like she does this every day and that it's been, you know, over a year since they could have come down. And it's like there's so much going on there. But then also, who is this child she has with her? Why is there this prison ship coming down? Like, so much. Like,
is this
so
gonna
many
be
questions.
Full of aliens? Are we gonna deal with aliens now?
Yeah, not yet.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah.
So, yeah, very, very shocking end. But, and the other thing, too, is that it's, like, we, like, at this point, we don't know besides Clark, like, if anyone survived, you know? Like,
right? Yeah.
We don't know if they've been able to survive in space for the past 6 years. We don't know if the people in the bunker are still alive. Like, it's wild. Well, anything else?
Nope, that's all I had.
Yeah, let me,
Except the one note that I had for the beginning of this episode is, Murphy is allergic to getting along with people. Like, he doesn't need to antagonize Monty as they're getting this oxygenator, but he just can't help himself.
Yeah, yep, which I'm sure is going to be great when he is trapped with six other people in space for 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the end of season four. I mean, like, this, I especially in contrast to last season, like, this was so good.
Right? Yeah.
It's just, like, has a lot of, I mean, like, these episodes, I feel like, were all really strong.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the future. Not really. Mm-hmm. I know some of the terrible things that are going to happen. I'm not excited for them, but oh well. And yeah, I mean, like, we lost Jasper, but also, like you said, that was a long time coming and felt earned. Well, thank you again for listening to A Bit Much.
And we'd like to thank Remember and Meredith Stein for our lovely logo.
You can find us on the internet at A Bit Much Podcast or at abitmuchpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for those of few of you who are out there for listening to us talk about this show. And I am Jenna.
And I'm Meg.
Now, we know the many ways we might die today. Why don't you tell us what we have to do to live?